Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with Total Information AM here on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch, and it's time for our weekly visit with Brad Young, KMOX legal analyst and partner at Harris Dow Fisher & Young. We're going to talk about ghost guns, felons running for office, and whether a St. Louis County family will get what a jury says they're owed. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
Let's start with that last story that I mentioned. This involves the family of a 14-year-old St. Louis County teen, Tyree Sampson. He is the teen who fell to his death from a theme park ride a couple of years ago. The family's been awarded a huge settlement by a jury in Florida, but the company that they sued didn't respond to the lawsuit at all. So the big question here is, will they actually be able to collect?
That is the big question, Megan. And I need to point out, before the lawsuit was actually filed, the parents of Tyree Sampson, he's the 14-year-old who passed away when he fell from his death, or fell to his death. That family settled with the amusement park, Icon Park, before the lawsuit was filed. So we don't know the terms. Those were undisclosed in terms of the terms of that particular settlement. But then once that settlement was finalized, the family sued the manufacturer of the equipment. The manufacturer of the equipment, Funtime Mandels and Gerstlauer Amusement Rides, those are two companies that are based in Austria, not in the United States. So they did not even mount a defense. They didn't appear. They lost by default. And so this so-called hearing last week was really only for the purpose of determining damages. And the attorney for the family asked for $100 million. The jury actually gave $310 million. And I know that sounds like an enormous amount of money, but in these situations, the question is, how do they collect the money? They may have a judgment, but these companies are based in Austria, so judgments would have to be filed in Austria to pursue these Austrian companies. And then there's a question about whether Austrian courts would actually make the companies pay. So there's a lot of work here before we see any money changing hands regarding to this award.
Brad, is this common when it comes to cases involving foreign companies?
It is, and it's also an issue that has gotten much, much bigger, Megan, over the last 20 to 30 years, because more and more manufacturers of equipment are moving overseas. I mean, for example, there are no punch presses built in the United States. Almost all of them now are built in China because of cost. And so even if there's someone involved in a horrific accident and they sue the manufacturer, the fact that these manufacturers are often based overseas creates an enormous service problem and collecting these judgments when it comes to defective equipment.
And I would imagine for a family, it would require them to hire legal counsel in the country where they want to try to get that judgment.
Absolutely, because the process is you have to secure the judgment in the United States and then go and try to file a lawsuit to collect on that judgment in the foreign country. And that is where the problems often occur because you're dealing with laws that are completely different than those in the United States.
Let's talk about our next story. The suspect in the murder of the United Healthcare CEO found with a 3D printed gun and silencer called Ghost Gun. The one thing that I had to note is that the U.S. Supreme Court was already taking up a case on ghost guns. So outline for us what the court is considering.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the timing on this, because just at the in the middle or end of October, the U.S. Supreme Court took up this issue of ghost guns. Now, there is a, technically a difference between a ghost gun and a 3D printed gun. Those two terms are not interchangeable. A 3D printed gun is most often made of plastic. And a ghost gun is one that is built from parts. And then you have a hybrid guns that are built partially of plastic and partially of purchased parts. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, both physically and metaphorically when it comes to these definitions. But the Supreme Court took up the issue because the Biden administration changed the ATF rules to try to oversee and regulate the sale of these parts of guns. And what's interesting is that when I was following the oral arguments at the Supreme Court, it seemed like the court is ready to uphold the federal government's ability to regulate ghost guns. And this is the reason why. Under the actual law passed by Congress in 1968, the Gun Control Act of 1968, it defines a firearm as any weapon which will or is designed to or may readily be converted to expel a projectile by the action of an explosive. And in the definition, it includes what's called the frame or the receiver of any such weapon. So that's under current law. So the question is, can the federal government then regulate the parts of guns if they are designed or maybe readily converted to fire bullets? And I think the Supreme Court is ready to uphold the federal government's ability to regulate the sale of these parts in order to try to reduce the use of these guns in crime.
Okay, so in this case involving the United Healthcare CEO, we would, I guess, have to know at some point how that 3D printed gun was assembled to know whether it might fall under any Supreme Court ruling in the future.
That's exactly right, because if you look at this, there's been conflicting reports about this weapon that was used by Luigi Mangione, Megan. And if it was a completely 3D printed gun, then it wouldn't necessarily fall under any of these regulations because there's no sale of any parts. However, if it is either a hybrid or it's simply a ghost gun, then it would be directly covered by what was taken up by the Supreme Court just over a month ago.
Great. Well, we've reported on legislation proposed by Missouri Representative Michael Davis that would repeal Missouri's ban on felons seeking office and allow it if that candidate is otherwise qualified. Talk about the pros and cons of a law like this.
Well, first of all, there needs to be a distinction made between the state level and federal level. We just saw the election of Donald Trump to the presidency, and he is a convicted felon. But under federal law, the qualifications for both the president and members of Congress are dictated by the Constitution. So state laws cannot change that. But when you're talking about state laws regulating the election to state positions, in Missouri right now, a convicted felon cannot run for state office. And this bill is being filed to try to change that. Now, it's interesting. As I was looking at all the states across the country, Megan, all the states are very, very different. They have different elements. But for example, even in Illinois, Illinois law bars any felons from running for any municipal office unless they receive a pardon. It also bars them from being the county sheriff or taking a political office overseeing a fire protection district or a library board. So the laws are varied, but the pros and cons are this. Should we allow individuals who have been convicted of felons to run for state office? And I think that's a question that a lot of folks are going to have to answer particularly voters, when it comes to this issue, because we've already seen it on a national level, how this is being played out. The question is, how would it play out on a state level?
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I'm wondering, okay, so someone has a felony conviction. What if they are still under some terms of that conviction? How could that complicate their time in office?
Well, we've seen there's been multiple examples going back 20, 30 years, Megan, where people have run for Congress while they were actually in prison. Now, I know it's easy to make a joke that lots of folks think that a lot of our politicians should be in prison. But jokes aside here, there aren't any prohibitions from doing that, but it presents the inevitable problem. How can a person serve in office if they're in prison? So I don't think even at this state level that's being contemplated. What's being contemplated, if someone has served their term, they've been a convicted felon, but they've faced the punishment. And just like states are returning the voting rights to people who have been rehabilitated through the prison system, this idea is they should also be restored the right to run for office. And that's what we're seeing played out in this particular bill.
Brad, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
That is KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young, joining us this morning on KMOX.